Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 5th, 2008. Each week, this podcast takes a look at topics of interest to the geospatial community. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor of Directions Magazine, and I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. It was a big week for news from a variety of sectors. We'll take a look at Garmin's announcement of its nav phone, the Nuvi phone, Microsoft's offer to buy Yahoo, and the Ordnance Survey's opening of OpenSpace, its API for developers. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Online, you can combine ready-to-use maps, reference layers, and functional tasks with your local data to support your GIS work. Save time and benefit from on-demand GIS content. Learn more about ArcGIS Online at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Now, before we jump into this week's topics, I wanted to point out two articles that I think our listeners will want to read. First off, after last week's podcast about the NRC's report about what CGIS should be focusing on, CGIS being the research arm of USGS, I got a phone call from Elin Usery, the acting director of CGIS, who told me about what that group had already done in response to the report, which it actually received last August, and gave me some good insights into what they're doing and helped us follow up on our research about whether or not the national map knows what a canyon is. So you'll want to look for that article at Directions Magazine later this week. Secondly, Adrian Hovati, who became famous after creating the ChicagoCrime.org mashup way back at the beginning of mashups, has an article on his blog explaining why that program will be retiring soon. It has to do with some changes at Amazon's E2 servers. But he reflects on that whole process of creating that mashup, what things have changed, and provides some insight into his latest efforts, a new hyperlocal news site. That's another thing I think readers will want to know. Now, let's jump into this week's news. On Wednesday, Garmin announced the Nuvi phone, the company's new cell phone. And there's a lot of talk that this was Garmin's first phone. In fact, they actually had another phone called NavTalk, which was launched back in 1988. It's since been discontinued and never really made it to the U.S., so it wasn't something that we would know about here, but in fact, they've gone down this road. Now, the Nuvi phone itself is a 3.5-inch touchscreen. It's got three key icons, one for call, one for search, one for view map. It's got an internet browser. It uses 3.5G technology. It's preloaded with maps of North America or Eastern and Western Europe, depending on where you are. It's got millions of points of interest. It offers turn-by-turn directions using voice. It has access to Google's local search capabilities, and I could go on a few more. The key answers to these questions are not yet available. What is the price? When will it be available? We know that's Q3, but the pricing and the carriers it will support have not been announced. The general sense is because it's a 3.5G technology, it's most likely to end up on AT&T or T-Mobile. Lots of questions are now popping up about, is this, you know, in reaction to the iPhone, and how does this compare? And I think the way to look at this is that now instead of saying, I need a phone, you're going to look at it as, okay, do I want the phone from the guys who know about movies and music? That would be the iPhone. Or do I want the phone from the guys who know about navigation? That would be from Garmin. So I think it's interesting that those two players who aren't particularly telecommunications players are now bringing in a product that specifically looks at the world, if you like, from those two perspectives. Now, the executives at Garmin have already sort of indicated that they really want to be the guys who know about navigation, and they made a statement that they've already solved one of the big problems with phone-based navigation, and that's that when a phone call comes in, the navigation stops. Well, they've got that solved with the Nuvi phone. So that's just one example of sort of what they're trying to do. So, Joe, what did you think of this announcement? Is this something that's going to change the way we look at things?
Well, the Nuvi phone is clearly one of these crossover devices that I think is targeted right at the iPhone. You really can't not see it as a competitive threat there. And whether you want something that is more navigation-oriented or more, you know, phone-oriented, I don't think makes a difference. You're going to choose something that is going to be relevant to your lifestyle. Now, the point you made about you know, stopping the navigation is a problem, or it's an inconvenience, maybe not a problem. I use Verizon's VZ Navigator, which is from NIM, Networks in Motion. And yes, when a call comes in and you cancel the call or end the call, it asks you whether you want to go back to the navigation. So if they've solved that problem, it's one. It's not really a problem. It's more of an inconvenience. So in this regard, you know, the Nuvi phone is one of those crossover items that we're going to see. You know, it does phone calls, it does navigation, I'm sure it'll do music, and, you know, consumers are going to have now a choice of what they want.
Right, and one other key feature, I think, for those of us looking at the world from the geospatial perspective, it does have a built-in camera, and not only that, but everything that you capture with that camera is geotagged.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice feature.
Sounds like a simple thing. But they've got it in there.
Yeah, it's a nice feature.
Another big topic this week was the announcement from Microsoft that it had made a bid for Yahoo.
This is an interesting development, and let's specifically concentrate on what it means perhaps to the mapping community. If you looked at what Yahoo had been trying to do when it announced some of the new versions of its mapping technology, they took it mostly in-house. They had been using Descartes' drill-down server, but they took a lot of it in-house, started to do a lot of internal development. What they were trying to do was make it such that it's a tool for the remainder of the Yahoo properties, Yahoo Local, Yahoo Real Estate. I don't think it's really rolled out to a broader group of the properties that Yahoo have, primarily on Yahoo Real Estate and Yahoo Local. Nice features. They do some nice things with it. If you look at combining Yahoo Maps and Microsoft Maps through this acquisition versus what Google is doing, you find some neat things. It's not huge in terms of what the applications would be. For example, Yahoo has Flickr. Google has Panorama. Perhaps you want to give the edge to Flickr because it's more of a name brand. As I mentioned, Yahoo has Yahoo Real Estate. Google really doesn't have anything in that category. Microsoft tries to do something, but it's more just local search. The whole idea here is they're trying to prompt more advertising, and that's really the main effect. And I don't think either Microsoft or Yahoo has done a great job in doing, implementing maps to the other features of their websites. For Google, it's such an ingrained element of their search capabilities. It may not do everything you want it to do, but you see it, you use it, and so it's going to be a challenge for Microsoft to really get a competitor, I think, to Yahoo Maps in this case. Even though Microsoft has done some very nice things with the bird's eye view and integrating some of the off-nadir imagery, but they're going to have to make a more concerted effort to integrate the two technologies and try to get a leg up on Google Maps.
Maybe they won't integrate the technologies. Some of the comments I've read on this topic suggest that they may just opt for Microsoft's mapping platform. It was deemed, at least by this particular writer, as being stronger. Some argue that Yahoo's local search is actually more powerful than Microsoft's. Whether you can mix and match those in some meaningful way isn't clear. And we also should bring up the fact, News Corp on Monday, that Google is already working pretty hard to figure a way to prevent this.
Right. They think it's an antitrust issue. They're trying to raise the red flag that Microsoft's been called out on the carpet before for antitrust issues in their software domain. Now they're trying to do it, on the Internet side. Yeah, they're going to raise all the red flags they want.
And they're also making noises that they will help others who might be interested in acquiring Yahoo, and potentially Google could acquire Yahoo.
I don't think there's going to be a big fight here in the antitrust area because Yahoo has struggled in the search area and Microsoft really hasn't made a move. If they stick to following the avenue that search is the big play here and not much of anything else, then I don't see that that's going to rate. I don't think that the antitrust people will have an issue with it.
I don't either. So I think that's why Google is looking for other ways to sort of rock the boat on this potential acquisition. Finally, over the pond, the UK moved out of Alpha its OpenSpace API, and that's a JavaScript API that allows users access to the Ordnance Survey data. And this is really a huge step forward as one of the big challenges for those looking to make maps of Great Britain had to license the data formally. There was an outcry about that, and the Ordnance Survey started making some changes in it. This API was actually announced in a closed alpha back in December, and this week it's open. pretty much to anybody who wants to play with it as a developer. There are some limitations. The applications must not be for commercial use, and those who register to take advantage of the API have access to up to 30,000 tiles or extracts of data and up to 1,000 place name lookups per day. So it's really an opportunity to build mashups on Ordnance Survey's data. Just in looking over it, I will point out that there's an awful lot of good software in the API. I pulled out three of note, three open source pieces of software that are part of it. One is Metacarta's OpenLayers, another is Sabre's Rico, and the third are some classes from Yahoo called JSR class. So I guess the real question now is it too late? Have people found solutions for making mashups in the UK before this announcement, or are they going to all flock to it now and jump on board?
The OS has always had the data for Great Britain, and they've captured it in a very accurate way. I think the issue here is, what's the license agreement going to come out to after they come out of beta? How restrictive is that license going to be, and how costly is it going to be to build something from a commercial application on top of that API agreement? Because this is very atypical of the OS in terms of opening up their data. So I think that's the question here that's going to be asked.
I think your point is well taken. I think for now it's really let's get it out there. Let's see what people do with it. Let's let them start thinking about those commercial sort of applications that they might want to do and see what happens. But so far as I have seen, there hasn't been any discussion of how you would be able to take advantage of this API for commercial use. Well, that's all the time we have today, but before we go, we want to share this message from ESRI. ESRI invites you to take the ArcGIS Server Code Challenge. Enter your original ArcGIS Server 9.2 code sample for a chance to win up to $15,000. The challenge is open to all qualified developers, and the deadline for submitting entries is February 29th. Visit www.esri.com/codechallenge for more details. If you'd like to email us about this podcast or anything else, our email address is editors@directionsmag.com. We welcome praise, corrections, criticism, and topic suggestions. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.